Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, and that's the Bible. And today is...
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Yes, that's right. It's the 5-year anniversary from the first show that we ever did, debuted. And I'm going to bring on Guy Reynolds right now. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, cool. How's it going?
Good. It's exactly the 5-year anniversary of the first show. I think we did together.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good time. Happy anniversary on the show. It's awesome to be back on. And what's going on?
Oh, I was going to bring on some more people to talk with us. I'm going to look up some, I should have looked it up ahead of time, but I want to look up some statistics to see when everybody was on. And, what have you been doing lately?
I've been doing some children ministry, and I just started a new job a few months ago with FedEx, and just kind of learned the ropes on that job, and still, you know, obviously doing some children's ministry and trying to spread the gospel, getting tracts out. Today, actually, we had some children's ministry. It was pretty good. Not a bad time that was had there at church Sunday after Easter. Usually, statistically, Sunday after Easter, it's, you know, it's okay, and it's some friends bring other friends and stuff, but I think the kids learned a lot. Our virtue this month that we're learning is humility, putting others first, and this is the last Sunday for that. So I brought Jericho the Clown along. I was Jericho the Clown today to kind of hammer home some humility stuff with younger kids, 3 to 5 year olds, as well as the children's ministry first grade through fifth grade, K through fifth. So I was there for both of them, taught a lesson on both areas, on humility, on Christ preparing a place for us. And it was pretty cool. I made little balloon keys for the kids as a reminder that the key to the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ, and he went to prepare a place for us, and that place just wasn't for the disciples. It was for everyone who would come to him through repentance and faith. So it was a cool message, and my friend and children's pastor had gave me that idea of making balloon keys for the kids. That way, if their parents ask them, you know, hey, what do you got that balloon key for, then even, you know, 3 to 5 year olds can explain what the keys of the kingdom means.
And the name of your town is called Jericho.
Yeah. A lot of people, when they hear my clown name, they'll say, you know that Jericho that got tore down. And I was like, no. There's a lot of stuff that happened to Jericho you don't know. You know, Zacchaeus was there. He was in Jericho that he got found by Christ, and he was up in that tree and things like that, and come down, and he had redemption there through Christ saving him and inviting him. You know, I want to come over to your house to eat, and he. You know, he was immediately humbled by everything Zacchaeus was. So it's not really, it's kind of a double edge, the name, the clown name I have has a double story. Obviously, it's dedicated to God. Also, I get the name for a clown by Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin did a movie called Three Ring Circus, one of the few in their career. And in that movie, he wanted to become a clown, and when he became a clown in the movie, his clown was called Jericho without the H. So I added the H for biblical purposes, and I really enjoy doing it. Like I said, I don't do it that much at church because I don't want the focus to be on the clown character. But every now and then I'll do it if we got the end of a month or something that we're doing a virtue, and I maybe want to help lead worship to the kids, and I'll lead worship as Jericho, and then teach lessons, of course, on there. So it's something, like I said, I don't do a lot at church, because I do go, me and my daughters go around to churches, and we do teach lessons on different stuff and scripturally, and I get to preach the gospel that way. And, you know, I know a lot of things have been made, you know, those sayings and stuff have been made about clowns being in churches, and yeah, there's been things like happening where I live out here in Kentucky, at Presbyterian churches and different churches like that that have clown services and stuff, which, I mean, I don't agree with, but I think you can still do the art of clowning and be biblical about it and preach repentance and faith through that. I know a few that still do that, so, and I try to do that, and I just want to be a willing vessel for kids to learn the gospel, and pray that they, you know, pass that on to their parents.
Yeah, I was looking at our stats. The actual date is April 26, 2009 was the first show, but can't do it. Well, want to do it on Sunday today, and it says, like, it had 434 archive listeners back then, well, for now, I mean, and then, to 35 live listeners. So I guess me and you were probably one of those live listeners. So
yeah.
33.
Well, no, you're the host, so I was probably one of the live listeners, so we at least had a fan base of 33 people.
Yeah.
Live on the debut show of it. So I just pray that it's become, and obviously it's stayed the same. And there's a lot of podcasts and a lot of live radio shows that Blog Talk Radio does that are biblically based and things. And I pray we have followed that same biblical thing that we've done, you know, in preaching the gospel. And not just, you know, addressing issues in Christianity and ridiculous stuff that needs to be brought to light, false teachers, things like that. Not just that, but that we've been faithful in preaching the gospel in order to try to get the gospel out there, because it doesn't return void. So, I think I pray that we've done that over the years, you know.
Go ahead. I was going to bring up somebody that has been on the show the most times. It's Andrew Rappaport. And he's been on at least 4 times that have been mentioned on my show, but he might have been on more that was not mentioned. And he went, I'm going to bring on him. And he's going to talk about something that happened at a university.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Andrew, you there?
Hey, Melissa, how you doing? Congratulations.
Hi.
On the 5th year anniversary of the radio show.
Yeah.
Just wanted to give a call, congratulate you for 5 years.
Thanks for being on our show during the 5 years.
How's everything going? It's been a long 5 years. I've had a lot of people on.
Yeah. I can't remember everybody, but I remember some of the people that, you're, of course, one of them. And there's people like, there's one guy named Bob Smiley. He's a Christian comedian. He was on here. Carrie Atala, you know her. She's a singer.
Yeah.
And she was on here, I think, once or twice. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
And let's see who else. Oh, yeah, there was this one guy named Kamal Salim. He was on. He's like a guy who talked about Islam.
Well,
and
you've also had Barbara Cameron. You've had...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's the biggest
one.
I had over like 17,000 people listen to that, download it, show. That was amazing. She was nice, too, because what happened is she made a mistake, and she didn't call in when she was supposed to or something, or couldn't do it a certain day, so she rescheduled.
If I remember correctly, there was a mix-up, and she had forgotten, and you had me come on and fill in while we're trying to figure out where she was.
Well, it worked out because she ended up coming on Mother's Day, and that was pretty cool. And she's a mother, so I played.
She is.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron and Candace Cambray. And it says right here, it says 17,641 downloads so far, the archive listens. And it says 9 live, so it was at least me and her and then 7 others that were listening live. Then that's one of the most successful shows that I have. They featured it on Blog Talk Radio, I think on like their, I think I said the homepage or something, or however they feature it. Like, I've seen them doing that with other shows, so that was pretty cool. And you mentioned, you wanted to mention about what happened at a university.
Yeah, what you had mentioned what happened to me this week, and we had Christian News Net actually has an article on it. They had broken the story, but basically what had happened was we went on to UConn University, University of Connecticut, as we do each year. We go there amongst other places and do some you know, open air preaching, handing out tracts, one-on-one, and we had and you could see the video if you just say, hey, it's like UConn professor goes ape. You can see both the story from ChristianNews.net and the video is linked there, and I think on our site, Striving for Eternity, we have a video of my interaction with this professor. But basically the professor just got up and he saw one of the evangelists, Don Carnes, had a sign that said evolution is a lie, and that's this professor's where he teaches on evolution anthropology. And so what ended up happening was he kind of went a tad bit ballistic or on a tirade on Don, and just started, you know, and if you do watch the video, be careful, there's a lot of foul language from this professor. But he basically, it was very entertaining in a sense, was he got up and started running up, and because the evangelist, Scott Smith, made this statement, just said that maybe some of you students or maybe professors or faculty, I think he said, may believe that you evolved from a monkey. He didn't call anyone out, but that's a discrepancy of the professors now claiming. But he just said, maybe some of you believe you descended from a monkey. And the guy comes running up saying, oh, I didn't descend from a monkey. I descended from an ape. And which just kind of caught, I think, Scott off guard, because it was like, okay, like you're making a distinction. And then the guy's like, you know, starts waving behind him and says, see, I don't have a tail. And, you know, I was actually on the phone on the side at the time, and some of the students came running over because they were like, I think that professor's going to start a fight. And so people thought that the professor was actually going to get into a fist fight, you know, but you'll see on the video he gets you know, a little bit aggressive with Don. And Don says to him that when the guy was challenging him on evolution, Don just gave the full title of the book. And I guess Don and he had a previous conversation. And so they had essentially gone into a couple minutes where he started yelling and screaming at Don. And then afterwards, he kind of grabbed a group of people onto himself, and he started to actually, and you can hear it in the video, where he actually says, you know, gets a whole bunch of students to say, praise Darwin. He had actually gone into a little, I guess we'd say, an open-air sermon on Darwinism, which was kind of entertaining in a sense. And basically what he had done after his interaction with Don, he tried getting a whole bunch of students to himself. And started, you know, saying to students they had to accept Darwin as their Lord and Savior, kind of doing some mockery of the gospel. But then he basically pointed it over. At that point, I walked over. He pointed at me, and claimed that, you know, pointing right at me, said, you know, that I was ignorant. So I walked into his little crowd and asked him, you know, can he prove that I was ignorant? And so he asked me some question that, you know, as a university professor, he figured I wouldn't be able to answer, which was going to be his proof that I was ignorant. So I asked him, you know, if he could explain the hypostatic union, which, of course, he looked at me and was like, well, I'm not, you know, we're going to have to get into some minor theological doctrine. I was like, well, it's not a minor one. That's actually one of the most major ones.
Yeah.
But because his claim is he read the New Testament, therefore he knows what it teaches. But really what happened was is the YouTube video has been going viral, I should say. It's good. I think the one on the Christian News Network, I think their video has like 85,000 views or something. And so it's starting, and it's less than a week. I mean, this happened Tuesday, so the video went up on, I think on Wednesday. You know, I know that their article has been shared by, like, I think, like, 14,000, 15,000 people. And so it's been picked up by some major news stations. However, the thing that's interesting, you know, we actually, you know, we expect students to kind of go act like that. We don't expect professors. Yeah, I've never seen that with a professor. But now, I guess he got in trouble with the dean or whatnot, and now he's starting to, you know, to fabricate a story where he's now saying that we were talking about, you know, he's trying to claim he had to get up and defend the morality of had a moral duty to defend students because the claim is we were talking about ethnicity, we were attacking people on ethnicity and sexuality, and the reality is none of those issues came up by us. I actually have a video. He's the one that actually embarrassed a student based on ethnicity. In his talk of evolution, he pulled out someone that had more melanin in his skin and, you know, put attention on that person, trying to argue that everyone would have come from Africa. And you could see the student was kind of uncomfortable with that. But the only ethnicity that was brought up was when Don was just giving the full title of Darwin's book, which is just giving the title of the book. So if there anything that was attacking ethnicity, it would have been him quoting, you know, praising Darwin. So he's starting to change his story. And, of course, the major networks, NBC, and are starting to pick up his side of the story only and try to make it like we were being mean to students and pulling them out. And it took 2 days for the professor's current story to come out.
He didn't like it when they said the full name too, because it's something about favored races or something.
That's right. That's right. He started. That's what it really set him off. He did the same with me when we had a crowd on our site, on our YouTube channel. We just put up a video with that'll show you the crowd that we were talking to. He and I, and we're going back and forth. And when he asked me if I read, you know, Charles Darwin, I said I read both Origin of Species and Descent of Man. And I started giving some quotations from the book, from both books, to show that, you know, Darwin was a racist. He was a sexist. He believed women weren't as evolved as men. He believed that, you know, his beliefs of evolution should be thrown out within 100 years if they can't find transitional forms. So give him some, you know, some different things. And it was funny because he accused me of taking things out of context. And I said, can you name one quote that I gave out of context? And I turned to the whole crowd and said, can anyone name one quote that I took out of context? And everyone just sat there silent. And he actually just kind of went into the crowd at that point, I think, embarrassed because he knew he was wrong. And that's actually a pattern I've noticed now with him, because we had some private exchanges, he and I, as we exchanged emails after the incident. The incident happened Tuesday afternoon around 2 o'clock. By 5 o'clock, by the time we left, he started having students kind of point out that his behavior was off. And I even, when I pointed out that he was being rude, talking over me, not letting me answer questions, students that don't agree with me were actually clapping. He actually thought some students were with me because they were pointing out that he was being rude, and they were pointing it out to him, and he assumed they must have been Christians, and they were like, no, we're agnostic, but, you know, the way your behavior was wrong. And so what ended up happening was he started that day at about 5 o'clock. He said, well, he was upset because we were calling people out and telling them that they're going to hell. 24 hours later, he posted a response that said that we were up there saying that all the students and faculty were going to hell, but none of us were, that none of us deserve hell, which is not the type of language that we use. And by the next day, 2 days afterwards, he came up with his current story, which is even further. He said that we were, you know, attacking people on their ethnicity and sexuality. So, and yet if those were really a concern, if he was really doing it because he felt a moral duty to protect students, you know, in 2 hours of him open air preaching Darwinism, not once did that issue come up. It only came up after some students had a talking with him. And so, you know, I think what you saw was you got to see him getting upset over the evolution as a lie sign, and now he's trying to cover it up, I think. And he's trying to, you know, slander, you know, two guys who were preaching. Their preaching is not the way that he describes it. I've preached with them before. They don't preach that way. So, It's a little discouraging seeing the university support a guy. And the thing we didn't know was going on with this was that the same university put pressure to get a coach to retire because he said that Jesus should be in our huddle. And the president of the university called that, you know, basically publicly spoke against the coach. And so people are calling on the president to be consistent here. The coach had left because they have a policy that you don't speak on any religious, any one religious view. And here you have a professor preaching on it. He made Darwinism a spiritual thing. And he now claims it was just street theater is what he was claiming.
Looked at the video. Right now it says 84,473 hits.
Yeah.
Or
so he was... I guess he's thinking he was clowning around, but not like your previous guest there, huh?
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I also got Jennifer Pepianga. Bring her on. Hey.
Hey, it's Jen Peplin. How are you guys doing?
Oh, the hat stealer.
So you have to actually leave the place with the hat for it actually stealing.
Do you know why that Jennifer Pepling's favorite football team is the Steelers?
Wow. Because
she
likes six Super Bowl rings?
She likes to steal my hats at Super Bowls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what, this week, I guess along that theme of being like a thief and things
yeah.
like that. And I'm sure that we hear about this from Andrew. They said Andrew's never been kicked off campus, but I kicked off the campus this past Wednesday.
Oh,
from,
really? What did you get? What happened?
From Duquesne University, but we knew we were going to get kicked off because Duquesne University sponsored, I think it was 2 years ago, they sponsored Evolution. They're a Catholic college, a private Catholic college, and 2 years ago they sponsored a evolution event and all sorts of displays and stuff at the zoo and then at the Science Center, and I had extra Evolution versus God DVDs, so we decided to go over to Duquesne University, and I hand out the DVDs. Well, we went incognito, there were four of us, and we had backpacks and carts and stuff, and we actually handed out, I thought we were going to get kicked off right away, so I only bought 600 DVDs, but we actually were there for about an hour and a half before we got kicked off. We handed out all of them except for seven, and actually me and Laura, we were like walking off campus. We didn't even have anywhere to hand out. The police came over all decked out, and they're like, come back here. And I'm like, okay. They're like, you have to leave. I'm like, good, you're going to need that anyway. I'm like, that's where we're headed. And but it was very cool that God let us hand out all the DVDs, really, that we were going to hand out. I mean, minus seven. And I was very pleased.
Well, for the record, actually, I have been kicked off one college campus before.
Really? You were kicked off a college campus?
Well, it only because the whole team was. It was last year when Scott Smith, Cy Tenbruggen-Kate, Michael Stockwell, myself, Andy Noble, I'm forgetting who else was with us, but we were at doing the Ivy League tour last year at this time of year. And
I think you're about to say it wasn't your fault, though, right?
Well, actually, what had happened at the time, it might have been Don who was preaching. Don Carnes was there. But so basically, a woman made a big deal. She claimed that she was a lesbian, and she was making a big deal about that. And that didn't even come up in the you know, Don's preaching. She made an issue of it, and she basically called the school. You know, because we were in the free speech zone, we had permission to be there. And when they basically said to she called the police. The police came over, and it's funny because Cy was talking to one of the officers for probably like 40 minutes. Sharing the gospel with him, open Bible, sitting there going back and forth, and he got a phone call from headquarters, and Cy hears the police officer say, yeah, well, I'm here with these guys, and no, there's nothing wrong going on here, no, there's no shouting, these guys are fine. And so I guess what happened was the woman wasn't happy, that the police wouldn't kick us off. They wouldn't kick us off from the free speech. And so she kept calling and got all the way up to the vice president before the vice president finally said, nope, we're going to, you know, send the police, remove these guys. And, you know, we never found out. We were never given a reason why. But when Michael Stockwell was preaching, he, you know, someone was saying God doesn't exist, and the person, you know, Michael asked, well, how can you account for, you know, how can you then, in your worldview, say that rape is wrong? If there is no God, you have no standard of morality. And some woman freaked out, thinking that Michael was saying that rape is okay, not hearing the full context. And I started to talk to her and quickly realized this changed from an evangelistic conversation to a counseling session. And I just said to her, I said, can I ask you a question? Have you ever been raped? And, I mean, the whole conversation just changed at that point. And I ended up realizing this isn't something to be done in the open air. I went over to the side where there were some benches. We sat down, and I started talking to her. So while the police were dealing with the rest of the team, I was actually counseling her. She had been raped by a family member. And so I was trying to, you know, share with her and talk with her. I would have, if it wasn't for the fact that I was driving, I probably would have let those guys go without me and kept trying to witness to her and talk to her, because the police didn't really know that I was with the rest of the team. So technically, I kind of got kicked off campus, but not because of my actions.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing I've been up to is I've been planning for Repent and Witness. Like,
what's
anyone
that?
To Repent and Witness is one of my very favorites, second only to Jersey Fire. I love Jersey Fire, but Repent and Witness is 4 days in New York City of open-air preaching, witnessing, and then we have speakers in the morning, and we have men's daily devotions, women's daily devotions, and then we have a speaker. One of those speakers will be Andrew, so he'll be happy to tell you about that.
Now no one's going to want to come.
Oh, well, you know, what can you do about that? Well, at least we'll have fun. Well, they don't have fun. That's their bummer, dude.
See, but, and at Jersey Fire, we're going to have Phil Johnson from Grace to You and Emile Zwang from Living Waters.
Wow, cool.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they can go to changeyourcampus.com and look under mission trips to sign up for Repent Witness. They have to do it before May 5th
Jersey
because I'm
Fire.
Raising the price on May 5th.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
May 5th? You raise the price by May 5th.
May 5th.
Gotta
you got to do it before May 5th.
And that's coming up really fast, so okay. I guess I got to
post
that. Yeah,
that's coming up really fast. But you know what's good? You know what I love about Jersey Fire? Is I love going to the shore. And I know you don't do this, Andrew, but I like it's like a very festive carnival kind of thing. And so I bring all my stuffed animals and like to bring people in and talk to them using stuffed animals. I give them a good person test for a stuffed animal. So much fun.
Yeah, you can do that at the Jersey Shore because they have so much the rides and the games and all that. So Repent and Witness is what weekend?
That is July 24th through 28th.
Okay.
What week is Jersey Fire?
And that's going to be the second weekend in July, which will be, I think, the 11th and 12th, and that you can go to jerseyfire.org. So what people should do is plan a summer vacation by coming to both, right?
Yeah. It'll be the funnest vacation they've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, my husband is going to be leading worship. He's actually the worship leader at our church, and so there will be good music there this year.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. We also have a church out in Union Square, so that will be fun on Sunday morning.
Andrew, are you going to have anything in California?
Well, we will have, we actually, if you go to spreadingthefire.org,
mm-hmm.
We have all of the events. We have the Ohio Fire coming up in May, end of May, Jersey Fire second weekend in July, and then NorCal Fire will be the second or third weekend in September. We'll have guys like Carl Kirby, Michael Carl Kirby Jr., Mark Spence, Greg Kokel, Paul Taylor, I already mentioned Phil Johnson and Emil Zwang. There'll be speakers at them. And what those events are, for folks that may not know, is there it's a conference where we do some training this year. The theme is going to be on the family. Except NorCal, we're going to deal with addressing different ways of doing apologetics, different apologetic schools of thought. And we have a training time, evangelism training time, and then we go out on the street and put things into practice. So the nice thing about that is that on Saturday evening, we go out, we evangelize, and that gives some one-on-one experience for people to get. We have team leaders that will help people to be able to be on a team and get one-on-one training, actually talking to people, sharing the gospel with people, and having someone that can help correct things and improve on the way we do it. So it's a real helpful thing for people to that aren't used to sharing the gospel, a little nervous with sharing the gospel. When you have, 100 of your closest brothers and sisters with you, it's a lot easier to do it.
Yeah.
And they're closest because they're on the same, street with you. That's the closest.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at it right now. It says Ohio Fire, May 30th, 31st, 2014. Jersey Fire, July 11th to 12th, 2014. NorCal Fire, September 12th, 13th, 2014. And spreadingthefire.com.
Yeah, I think you get there from .com or .org. Yeah.
Oh, both of them. Cool. So I was hoping Guy Reynolds would be on. I guess I must have lost him a long time ago. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay.
So
he was bored by Andrew. What can you do?
You had Jennifer on some time ago. Did you ask her the story of how she stole my hat at the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
did she tell you that story?
She claims
the wind blew it off my head twice when there was no wind.
There was absolutely wind.
There were eyewitnesses to the fact that there
it
was
saw
no
the
wind. But what was really bad is that she not only took it for the whole time we're at the Super Bowl, that at the end of the weekend, when I went to take my hat back, people thought I was stealing her hat. People were taking my hat back and giving it to her.
It was really hysterical because they would go, he would take the hat, and then he'd walk away and talk to somebody, and somebody would jump up and run over and grab the hat and bring it back to me in front of my head. I was just hysterical. It was so funny. Yeah, I didn't steal the hat. Other people stole it for me.
She said the wing gave it to her.
That's because she's a stealer.
Wow. No, I'm not
a
football player.
Thief, not stealer.
Yeah. Well, now
stealers the group. I mean the.
Now, Melissa, you probably pick up on this because I know you're always in the chat room for the Striving Fraternity Academy that we do on Monday nights. And so you probably know that when you talk to Jennifer, there's five words you always hear, right? It's
can you
wow,
guess what they are?
Awesome,
wow.
Right? Yeah, she always says wow, right?
And amen.
Amen. And it, if you keep going, you'll eventually hear, I'm sorry.
Oh, she's right.
It's so funny. Somebody asked me the other day, they're like, if I told you my brother died, would you just say amen? I was like, I might.
Oh, you did do something like that. I forget what it was. Oh, I think it was like at the Super Bowl where I said something that was like bad news and you were like, amen. I forget what it was.
It was hysterical. You know, the one, Jehovah's Witness guy who heckled me from the car. That was hysterical. Was that the Super Bowl?
That was Super Bowl. There was New Orleans where the guy pulled his car over to scream at you from his car window. Jesus is not God.
It was so awesome. I was like being so sweet. I was talking to this woman, you know, trying to give her a stuffed animal and telling her that Jesus is God. And they pulled over and the conversation went to him. It was so funny. I was like, wow, dude. Oh, man.
Now, I don't know, Melissa, if your listeners could figure out why everyone calls Jennifer Giggles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, has she told you the story behind that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you the story. It was the first Ambassadors Academy, and I had to go upstairs to get something. I was late coming down to the dinner, and there was like two seats left. I was like, hey, can I sit here? And they're like, oh, sure. And so somebody comes up from behind. I didn't know who it was. They're like, can I sit here? I'm like, oh, see, sure. It turned out to be Ray. I was like, oh, this is cool. Ray tells, I call it grandfather. He has grandfather humor. And I love grandfather humor. And so he'd tell a joke. I would laugh at the joke.
What's grandfather humor?
Ray Comfort. Oh, go ahead.
What's grandfather humor? I'm not old enough to know
humor?
What that is. Yeah.
I'll tell you grandfather humor in a minute. And so he would tell a joke. I would laugh. And then he would make fun of my laugh. And then the whole table laughed. And I think we spent like an hour doing that at dinner time. It was so much fun. And so then I was giggles from then on out. That was very cool. What is grandpa humor? Grandpa humor is all those little cards and stuff that Ray has. You know, he has like a little card that says ID, you know, and then I'm trying to remember.
The ID
so long
cards,
as I've seen him. Yeah, the ID cards. Because your ID.
IQ cards, yeah.
Yeah, but he tells all these cute little jokes. I love them.
I wonder if Ray actually knows your real name because he knows your name, but I don't know that he's ever used it because anytime people use your name, he goes, Giggles?
Yes. Yeah, and Tony's like, that's Jen Peppling. He's like, Giggles. He says, yeah, Jen Peppling, that's Giggles. And he goes, oh, Giggles. I think you're right. I think he only knows me as Giggles, but I'm good with that.
So that's you're talking about Ray Comfort?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of him?
Yes. livingwaters.com.
Have you ever met Easy? He's really neat. He remembers everyone's name. I have no idea how he does that. And he's got like more than half of the Bible memorized. I mean, he's very impressive. And he does all this great poetry. Every time I see him, I'm like, are you going to write that poetry book? Because it's so... I met him once.
He's,
Arab? What was that?
He's the Arab. That's what they call him. Yeah. Because, he's his the son-in-law of Ray Comfort. Yeah.
Yes.
And, I have a little short story about Ray. I met him at least, I think, twice. The first one was... I lived in Bellflower for most of my life, and only lived here maybe 2007, around there. And I live in Hemet right now, but I used to live in Bellflower, and I would go down there to the Living Waters. First, they were at this smaller part. It was on this part called Flower Street, and I would, like, go down there hanging out because I just thought it was cool that they're there and wanted to be by there. And then they went to their new place that they're currently at. Well, it's not that new anymore, but then it was. I got to wash the walls because they let us, they wanted somebody to help out to clean the place before they moved in. So I was cleaning the walls. And he gave me a book. It was like a Way to Master book, like behind the scenes kind of thing. He signed it. It was me and my friend. We were there doing that. And I think it was actually before that this happened. Nobody knows after because this is after they already moved in. I was looking at him like, staring at him because I just like, you know, it's him, and it was like I just didn't talk to him yet. And then like he came up and he tried to give me a gospel tract, and then I came out and I showed him I had my own So, like, that was funny. She gave me that, so kind of an honor. And also, another time I saw him at there's this theater in Bellflower. They're making the training DVDs, the ones that they made for Way to Master.
Oh, the academies.
Yeah, I don't think it was Academy, but it's like the very first training DVDs for like just Way to Master in general. It was way back then. I met Brad Snow there shortly there too, and I gave him like these. The paint probably wore off because I just painted them with some acrylic. It was some pots, like to give them to plant stuff in, and I had painted them. I guess with flowers or something on them, and then I gave it to him, and he liked that, and then. I got to meet Kirk Cameron real shortly. I said, thanks for using your celebrity to, you know, preach the gospel. And shake his hand quick. And, in case you guys don't know, I, like, had a crush on him. So that was cool, too.
I could be wrong, but I don't think you were alone. I think, like, half of the American teenage girls, when I grew up, had a crush on him.
Yeah, actually, I grew up at that time, and I did not have a crush on Kirk Cameron.
You
like
did it?
I did not,
wow.
No.
But you don't think, well, but you think he's handsome, don't you?
What was that?
Because, Jennifer, by the time Kirk Cameron, by the time she was old enough to have crush on boys, you know, Kirk was already off the show, and Jennifer's young, you know, she probably doesn't know anything about the show. She probably heard about the show, like, afterwards, you know, years later.
I'm willing to stick with that. Let's go with that.
No, I'm just saying in general, he's, like, you know, he's a good-looking guy. But also, I met him this other time. It was this thing called Transformed. They did that with it was the Todd Friel, Kirk Cameron, also it was Ray Comfort. That day it's funny because they also have Barbara Cameron that day, but actually didn't meet her that day because she was there earlier, so that's kind of funny that I didn't get to meet her, but I got to talk to her on the radio, the show later. And
you know what? She would make cookies for the Ambassadors Academies. They were the best cookies ever.
What kind was it?
They were chocolate chip cookies.
Oh,
they were so good.
Those are one of my favorites, chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, so I probably like that. Yeah, so like, and then that time they had like a line, and then I was having them, because they're signing anything that's a book. So what I did, I took, I had a MacArthur Study Bible. It was a different one than the one I had now. And I took it up to them to sign that. And then Kirk was joking. He's like, are you all right signing a Calvinistic book or something like that? To Ray Comfort. So that was funny.
I just want to call and congratulate you on 5 years of
doing
truth be told, the radio. It's, I mean, this is it's been a long time for you. It's good that you've been continuing with it, and wish you 5 more years of success with the radio.
Thank you, and thanks for joining me.
Yeah, now I know, now that I drop off, Jennifer will tell you all kinds of bad stories that will all be untrue about me, but, you know, that's the way she is, you know. So.
Wow, now I have to, like, come up with something, right?
You would anyway. All right.
Well, bye.
See you guys online Monday night in the Striving for Eternity Academy. All right?
Yeah, you stream, yeah.
Or you can watch them later on YouTube. That's what I do.
Yeah, I get it. You want to do that?
Because otherwise you're too entertained by the chat.
Yeah,
I know. That's what happens. People are all chatting, and then, like, they're chatting each other, so, like, you miss some of it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, so he can't even pay attention. It's just more about, you know, messing with Andrew's facial expressions and his hand movements and stuff like that. You know, he thinks he's Italian.
Yeah, it's funny.
No, no, Jewish. But yeah, we'll be coming up. It'll be fun because we will be not this Monday, but starting next Monday, we'll finally be getting into our systematic theology lessons. We'll get to discussing Calvinism versus Arminianism.
You yeah, because I know that you're an Arminian, aren't you?
No one knows what I am.
He's
a
liar.
They can't figure me out.
Italian?
I don't use the labels. Because
you
the labels,
say you're a biblicist. Is that what you, you're
He's American.
He's
yeah.
American. That's
yeah.
what I always write. I'm American.
All right. Hey, have,
okay,
have a good
thanks
one.
For going. Bye.
All right.
That was funny. So thanks you for also joining. I don't know if you want to say anything more. Change your campus.
Oh, amen. Changeyourcampus.com. Yeah, amen. Changeyourcampus.com. Sign up for Repent and Witness. It's under missions trips. And also, if you're interested in being a campus leader, go to changeyourcampus.com. If you like to go out onto the different campuses and witness. And then train up the students to go out and witness to their fellow campus, to their fellow students. We'd love to have you come
yeah.
out. And also, we're looking for other people, people to do photography and to pray for us, people to write lessons. And we're looking for some people with, we're looking for a couple more people with degrees, so in divinity and systematic theology, things like that. So, changeyourcampus.com. Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me on today.
Welcome. Thank you for even coming on.
Hey, man. Hey, anytime.
Yeah, bye, Giggles.
Bye-bye.
That was Andrew Rappaport and Jennifer Pepling. Like she said, changeyourcampus.com. And then him, you could go to strivingforeternity.org or also spreadingthefire.com and or .org. That is for the Ohio Fire, Jersey Fire, NorCal Fire coming up this year, May, July, and September. And Ohio is May 30th to 31st, Jersey July 11th to 12th, and NorCal, that's Northern California, September 12th to 13th, 2014. And thanks for joining us for our anniversary show. Now we're going to play some music. This one is from Shylin, and this one's called Faithful God, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
From here we can see the true significance. All your acts of might were shadows and types that point ahead to a future. your deliverance from the things you say you don't budge. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who is just is not one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
Determines fate, reverberates that urgent race. The earth it shakes with fervent quakes. Imagine it, I can't explain the half of it. Our brains can't even fathom it, and language is inadequate. It characterized the Lord on the throne with spiritual eyes. The story is known. From him and through him and to him is everything. Show me the God, be the glory alone.
Not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. To your name. God it was there. Possessing the glory that's not to be shared. God versus anyone, not even fair. How could you dare to try to compare? The self-existent, self-sufficient, omnipotent, beneficent, faithful God whose word we can trust. Perfectly holy and perfectly just. His beauty, there's no end to it. Transcendence is infinite. Knowledge and wisdom intricate. Steadfast love is intimate. We see in his laws, he is the boss. Nothing about him is evil or false. Pure perfection, zero flaws. All of his attributes meet at the cross. The place where Jesus Christ was smashed to satisfy God's righteous wrath. Rose from the grave on my behalf. Through faith in Christ, he lights our path. Makes believe is part of his fam. How does a holy God part of the man? Perhaps even harder to understand. From the beginning was part of his plan. Imagine it, I can't explain the half of it. Our brains can't even fathom it. And language is inadequate to characterize the Lord on the throne. With spiritual eyes, the story is known. From him and through him and to him is everything. Surely to God be the glory alone.
A song called Glory to God, and like I said before, we have a song called Faithful God, and you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I am Wilson Cantrella. Gonna play one, another one from By Shining. This one is called All Consuming Fire here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Somebody come on. and his qualities, he's awesome and he's grand. He's regal and his policies are gloriously planned. He's peeping the idolatry that's all across the land. Our people in society ignore the Son of Man. By seeking their autonomy, they are caught in a trance. But he will put a stop to the evil and apostasy, the devious hypocrisy, the fallenness of man. We're teaching you theology so y'all can understand. According to his plans, the slaughter of the damned. Unspeakable reality to fall into his hands. No sequels, it's finality and awful is the sin. No weeping or apologies, no sneakiness or bribery will keep the Lord from honoring his law and its demands. With pieces of his pottery, he causes us to stand. His people see him properly, exalted is the Lamb. Lamb,
is the Lamb.
We see it openly explained. So mindful of its gravity, this poetry is plain. A frightful catastrophe, his foes will be in pain. Stifle their anatomy and souls will be sustained. Recycled supernaturally and locally contained. The spiteful would be glad to see God's potency restrained. Noticeably profane, they're supposed to be ashamed. They joke like it's a game, they're woefully deranged. Maniacal, they're actually opposed to Jesus' reign. His rightful mastery of the whole of his domain. Not tribal, but massively and globally ordained. He died to make us happily devoted to his fame. His rivals with their strategies, their prideful with their apathy, their idols and their blasphemies will only see the flames. Denial of his majesty is totally insane. The title of his masterpiece is holy as his name. Yes, he's gonna burn it away. The holy furnace will blaze. Eternal the day. Somebody come on. God's wrath is coming. Christ is coming on the clouds. See the clouds running. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. Behold the Lamb in his might. In his sight is stunning. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. All the wicked will be punished at the final judgment. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. He's going to vindicate his name at the second coming.
Soli Deo Gloria, yeah, once again, it's the church, man, called and collected. There's a lot of confusion about what makes up a healthy church, so we're going to look at the first mark, because without this one, you're in bad shape. Let's do it.
Yeah. With our raps we adore our master and lord, Jesus Christ, who deserves all our claps and applause for the wrath that he bore at the cross for our blasphemous thoughts and the classless acts of a whore. He gave up his life with a passionate roar, was raised up to heights where he sat at before. After this all, he gave pastors the call to ministry found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, what I first want to do is come to you, the church, to reverse the funny view. So let me ask a question, what's most essential? What is it that gives the local church's credentials? Some would say music, some would say deacons, others say reaching the lost and soul seeking. But if we want to give God the glory in our meetings, the most important thing is expository preaching. Where are the witnesses? Where are the spurges? Preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the word. We need sound theology to deal with reality.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
We got enough rappers, we need more pastors.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
We need explanation and deep application.
Preach the word.
We gotta
preach the word.
This verse right here is for the congregation.
This what y'all need to be listening for.
Yeah, let me explain what I mean. It's not too complex.
Uh-uh.
It's preaching God's word in its proper context. As you listen, be discerning. What you have to determine, what's the point of the passage, the point of the sermon? If not, this problem must be confronted today, because he just used the Bible to say what he wanted to say.
What?
And even if it's delivered with fire and intelligence, that's basically making what God has inspired irrelevant. Instead of applying the word's reality, a lot of pastors relying on personality, but gifts of communication can never be a true replacement for the Holy Spirit's illumination. Without exposition, you'll lack major profit. All you'll get is tradition and your pastor's favorite topics, and that can be a slippery slope. The word should be giving you hope. This dude is just giving you jokes. That won't help you love Christ. It won't help your obedience. We need more expositors, not more comedians.
Right.
With shepherds who labor in the text and faithfully connect you to the Savior, then wait for its effect. God gives the increase. Holiness, love, unity. The word faithfully preached builds up the whole community. If not, your Sunday meal will not last, and you'll have to supplement it with the podcast.
Podcast.
Don't entertain us. That won't sustain us.
Preach the word.
Come on.
You preach the word.
Careful instruction, not a big production.
Preach the word.
The word.
Preach the word.
We don't need theatrics and man-centered passion.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
We're on the brink of eternity. Please speak earnestly.
Preach the word.
You gotta
preach the word.
This verse right here is for the pastors. I just want to encourage y'all, man.
Yeah. Y'all should be mindful of this devout thesis. All of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament,
Jesus Christ concealed.
The New Testament,
Jesus Christ revealed.
This truth of the Lord Christ boldly conveyed this in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. The law, the prophets, and the teachings of apostles. All of these point back to Jesus in the gospel. So if the work of Christ is what the word is about, ultimately that should be what the sermon's about. Forget applause, you got to let the cross rock ya. All roads in the Bible lead to Golgotha. Whatever the text, faithfulness demands that we should hear the echoes of nails hit in his hands. Don't try to be original, say the old story, and watch your people change as they behold glory.
The glory is Jesus, we need to see it. Preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the word.
Make Christ the center so new life can enter.
Preach the word.
We gotta
preach the word.
Give us the whole counsel along with the gospel.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
This is your duty. Show us God's beauty.
Preach the word.
We gotta
preach the word.
Yeah. So that's it, man. That's the charge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, he charges him to preach the word. And yo, it's a lot of good resources out there, you know what I'm saying? Spirit Empowered Preaching by my man Art Azurdia. Christ-Centered Preaching by Brian Chappell. The Supremacy of God in Preaching by John Piper. Get these resources, man. More than anything, dig into the Word of God. Meditate on it and give it to your people. Grace and peace. Yeah.
Once again, Shannon with expository teaching. His name's spelled S-H-A-I and then L-I-N-N-E. You can find him on lampmode.com. That's his record label, L-A-M-P-M-O-D-E.com. I was looking at my stats and it says the total listens is 117,740 listens. So that's pretty impressive, a lot. And live listens, 1,876. And it says total profile views, I guess here on Blog Talk Radio, that I broadcast via, 30,911. Wow, pretty cool. So thanks to that. Awesome. Pretty cool that God even helped me to do that. I want to thank my mom. She's the one that, been helping funding my show, sponsoring it. So thanks, Mom, for that. And let's see, also gonna give you some more. I forgot that there was one time that I quit the show because I thought like I wasn't gonna do it anymore. And that was during, it says from August 19th, 2012 and to October 20th, 2012 I came back. And I'm glad I did, because I got to do cool shows since then. Got to do with Carrie Otala and then Andrew Rapport, Richard Story, and what else did I do? Let's see. Then John Chrisom Sr., Andrew Rapport, Jennifer Pepling, and the one, of course, Barbara Cameron. Like I said before, that one has like 17,641 archive listeners. So if you want to listen to that, you could go back and listen to that one. That one's from May 12, 2013. And let's see. Also had a song debut on the show by Jason Shilin. That's J-S-O-N. And had J. Warner Wallace. He does apologetics. And Page 116. They sing hymns. And also had a guy come back. The return show, it says January 12, 2014. And see, also Jennifer Pepling again from the Collegian, Christian Collegian Network. That's like we said, go to changeyourcampus.com. And before that, I think I had, I had Usama Dakta. He was talking about Islam. And also, we had Molly Bear. I should talk to her again. She was doing mission kind of thing, work. And Mike Stockwell. Let's see. And also had Jerry Zanstra. He was working on, I think that was a movie, Christian themed, or let's see, Alondra Henley, Brad Stein, he's a comedian, Drew Morgan, he has done before Last Words Radio, and also The Adventures of Roman and George with Greg Elsasser. And I had Carrie Tala. She was going by Carrie Coolidge Tala back then. Let's see. And then Gregory Rice. I think he's a senior, yeah. And oh, I had a Greg Elsasser, too, on here. It was on October 10th, 2010. And then like I said before, we had Drew Morgan. That was on, when was that one? That was on, let's see. Oh, no, I guess I forgot. I missed it somewhere. Let's see. And thank you for listening to Tributal Radio. We're doing the 5th year anniversary show, and oh yeah, and then Drew Morgan, he was on January 9th, 2011. So they're close to the same time. Let's see what else there was. There was also, says Preston Kegley from October 4th, 2009. Forgot what he was talking about actually though. Let's see. Or maybe I just had something featuring him. Can't remember. Sorry about that. And one of my first ones that had, I guess, was Bob Smiley and then Mike Stockwell. I think it was the next hour. That was May 17, 2009, way back then. Yeah, almost 5 years for that one, too. So thank you for joining me here on Tributal Radio and being a part of it. And please tell your friends. We're at TruthBeTollRadio.com, TruthBeTollRadio.com. and on Facebook and Twitter as Truth Be Told Radio, but it's Truth, the letter B, Told Radio, it's not B-E, it's the letter B, without the even, Truth, the letter B, Told Radio, because Twitter went last, do the whole thing. They have, like, a limit. So what I'm going to do now is, after reminiscing, gonna play a song. This one is by Go Fish, and it is the song called Ten Commandment Boogie here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Thank you.
was Fruit of the Spirit. And that was Gilfer singing it. And before that, we had the song that is called Love Like This. And, oh wait, I think it was, wait, no, it's All My Heart. And then before that, 10 Commandment Boogie. And might as well play that now. I'm going to play Love Like This. This is GoFish. And if you want to check them out, it's GoFishGuys.com. GoFishGuys.com. Hey, seriously, me and Melissa Cantrell are here on Trippy Toll Radio.
I'm saved.
Once again, that's Gofish singing the song called Saved. And I'm going to go to now the Shyland. This one's called The Hypostatic Union here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Yeah. The other day, this guy was like, yo, man, what's good with all that theology? Give us something practical. And I was like, word? Okay, check this out.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union,
yeah. A topic of discussion is beyond human comprehension. The infinite God has made a super condescension. The condescension nobody could have anticipated, precipitated by the evil we participated in. Through Adam and Eve, our first kin, cursed when they committed the first sin. Only if you have the Holy Spirit's antennas can you truly understand fallen man's dilemma. See, only a human can substitute for human lives, but only God can take the wrath of God and survive. Yeah, see the humanly unsolvable obstacle. With God, all is plausible. Nothing's impossible. True haters are fighting, but the story is certain.
Yeah.
Two natures united in one glorious person. Jesus, the God-man, official soul reaper. The hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of God, 100% divinity.
Yeah,
self-existent, second person of the Trinity. Magisterial, imperial at the helm. Infinitely transcending this material realm.
Yeah,
he's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold the invincible, prototypical, holy principle.
Yeah,
possessor of all divine attributes. The omnis, wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He's the one that all creation was made through.
Yeah.
And by him, the earth's foundation was laid too.
Yeah.
Ask the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Created Satan too. Matter of fact, he created you.
True.
And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule. From the farthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame?
Who?
By the word of its power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself.
Yeah.
Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness. Beyond with the sharpest biologist acknowledges. He needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees our hearts, omnipresent cardiologist. Master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is just preposterous. Yeah, Selah. Let's just let that sink in for a second. Yeah,
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of Man, 100% humanity.
Yeah.
The mind stretches to understand how can it be. You gotta see what he
does.
Becoming what he was, and while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping? Yeah, that got you tripping, me too. But the scripture is true, P. Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus, who made Uranus and Venus, became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later, he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subject of the gospel, praise of apostles. Armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils. Who is this Jesus? God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the Son, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pain?
Huh?
See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saved from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, and I ought to just cry wide with water in my eyes when the author of life dies. Raised on the third, God, man, soul seeker, the hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we do it, man. Lyrical theology.
Word up.
Spiritual analogies. The hypostatic union.
Shout out to my man Direct.
Yeah.
Good luck, y'all.
What up, Canada?
Yeah.
noon. He let the twilight shine, and his holy attributes stretch the finite mind.
Who is like him? There is none. Triune, holy, three in one. When all is said and done, God is amazing, amazing. His power cannot be compared. Exhaustive knowledge none can share. At all times, everywhere, God is amazing, amazing.
Infinite, universal, self-evident. His prince is the newest purple. Rain suspended and glistening, beauty circles. Uninhibited through his spirit, a new reversal. No rehearsal, yeah, it's a paradox. But God's omnipotence isn't hidden behind a mega rock. That he couldn't lift, these critics better stop. New internal physics exhibits, he made the petawatt. This sun's energy, atoms within a laser. Adam needed an angle, Jesus became the center plot. Now that could be geometrically a cinema, Descartes or DeMille. Emphasis on the metaphor. A metaphor, you get the picture, but consider the depiction of his power is a fiction. Does it take prophetic vision or religion to envision philosophical, spiggity, speculative admission? Nah, he's God anyway, we'll never break his code to regenerate, then create in the face of death. Incomprehensive race, meditate, venerate his deity speaking, degrees centigrade. Now that's cold, ain't it? Better than Joe, name it. God delivers on his promise, you could quote Jacob. Omnipotence, omnibenevolence, power, preeminence, bow to his excellence.
Who is like him? There is none. Triune, holy, three in one. When all is said and done, God is amazing, amazing. His power cannot be compared. Exhaustive knowledge none can share. At all times, everywhere, God is amazing, amazing, yeah.
Who could fathom his understanding that fasten the sun to banish and fashion the other planets? Imagine it from his vantage. Inhabitants under famines, having a stomach famished. He's not missing. If it's happening, it was managed with God's vision. His non-ending cognition called omniscience is harassing the underhanded. He sees into the plight, a view of each conscience, and reads into the mind, perusing each thought. When even dudes that lie then move to keep cautious, he to ruthless crimes they do, then he hearkens. Peeking through the blinds of fools and departments, where evildoers hide in gloom and deep darkness. He knows the future. We see the point in certain sense. All things happen by his pre-appointed purposes. Even on the earth was his knowledge so impassable. We see Jesus knowing both the possible and actual. Whether boasting in sin or holding it in, he'll expose in the end, cause hearts are open to him. This theme's addressed in God's word. Observe Proverbs 15:11. Though he knows innocence, the vast and the minutia, he chose an affliction that evidenced true love. Witness omniscience, wrath fell on his true son, being crushed for sins, past, present, and future. Future, future.
There is none. Triune, holy, three in one. When all is said and done, God is amazing, amazing. His power cannot be compared. Exhaustive knowledge none can share. At all times, everywhere, God is amazing, amazing.
Real treasure and worth. Answer, the Lord who fills heaven and earth. God in his essence is infinite, transcendent, unlimited, exhibited and omnipresent. All things before his eyes are laid bare, as he governs the earth and skies with great care. There's not one sector or section that's undetected or left unaffected by his perfection. So I don't even need to smell the marijuana stench to know my God is deeper than the Mariana Trench. The calculation is 36,000 feet below sea level, a about 7 miles deep. If you got to the bottom without imploding from the weight, God would be waiting there saying, yo man, you're late. In the farthest galaxies, my God has the glory, cause distance for God is a non-category. Amazingly, God is able to be in Haiti and Greece, Jamaica and Sweden, Barbados, New Zealand, Lithuania, Egypt, Malaysia, Tunisia, and the Arabian Sea simultaneously. Before him, everything is naked and exposed. That means there will be no escape before his foes. God's presence and his wrath will torment the sinner in hell, but those who trust Christ, with them he will dwell forever, 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 forever.
That was the Omnis by Shannon. Thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. Now I'm going to play one from Timothy Rindle, and this one is called I'm Here on Trippy Toll Radio.
With one question, where you going after this? You're done guessing? Cause what happens if your trunk flexing and you crash your whip in an accident? Your lungs wrecking? You know that you're nervous when you stand before a holy God who won't accept nobody's perfect. He doesn't wink at sin and let it slide. It stinks to him and he detests our pride. We're all accountable each day, bruh. We've offended an all-powerful creator. Let's get it right, guys. His commands ain't kept in. No little white lies. He demands perfection. He reserves this right because he created us. His ways are just. You must be saved.
Yeah, saved from what?
You must be saved from the wrath to come from the matchless sun. What makes you think you cats can run? And each sin stacks a ton of bricks. His wrath is coming quick. He hates sin. He has to punish it. Trust this. We know this must be done. Cause his justice was shown when he crushed his son. So I pray you may be saved today. Cause you're storing up wrath, it's on layaway. All man is sinful, everyone's a lawbreaker. But the plan is simple, let the Son of God save you.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Pray you're thirsty for his grace and mercy, but if your heart's hardened, better fear.
Better fear.
He who has a ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has a ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
I pray you're thirsty for his grace and mercy, but if your heart's hardened, better fear.
What you gonna do? Oh, you got other worries. You in such a hurry, plus you love the girlies. You wish you were whipping the bins and you're jiggy with Tim's. But your most important needs are forgiveness of sins. Trying to get to heaven by your sound best behavior. It's like climbing up the down escalator. So admit you're helpless and wicked selfish. Please repent or be quickly dealt with. Why would I take this time to lie to your face? You need a perfect person to live and die in your place. So please to Jesus of Nazareth, cause he's the compassionate God-man whose deeds are miraculous. Swallow your pride, we got two things in common. We're all sinners, plus we're all gonna die. But it's Jehovah in the womb who rose up from the tomb. He spoke into existence the oceans and the moon. Your cousin's forbidden, bless your lusting for women. And you can't hide your sins from him, nothing is hidden. You must trust that he's risen and he was crushed for your sinning. And God will call you righteous, just and forgiven. So stop your finesse. Jesus is Lord, God in the flesh. Knees on the floor, drop and confess. He became poor, beaten and sore to wash up your mess. Receive him before you plot to your death.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Jesus rose from the grave, believers know them the same. They rest in his grace and never fear.
Never fear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
He who has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Jesus rose from the grave, believers know that they're saved. They rest in his grace and never fear.
Sin disappoints, it never does satisfy. Kid get the point, everyone has to die. But after this, we can live again without the help of Catholic priests, middlemen. Cause Christ is the way, the only door to the Father. And the horrible lava is more than a sauna. Even if you murder some men and cut knives, you can be saved if you trust Christ and turn from your sin. Cause on the cross, Jesus soaked up his anger. So instead of judge, he'll be your most loving savior. To restore us, the Lord poured his blood. So we can be with him forever in his world of love in heaven. You'll be seeing his beauty beaming. It's the greatest privilege for the human being. I can't wait till we cling and see the face of the King. So please come join us as we praise and we sing.
save me, then he can rescue you.
Yo, it's so strange. So many folks claim they're born again when their lives are showing no change. Listen while I'm spitting. If you go about your sin without conviction, you should doubt your Christian. The devil tricks people that they're saved when they're sleeping in their graves. Though the evil, they're a slave. So examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you just a slave to sin's glamour and wealth? Cause you seek finer things and seem fond of sin. But please read 1 John 3, 9 and 10. This is a warning, dog. It shows if you're a fraud and that this is impossible if you've been born of God. To live habitually sinful, at least hear it from Christ if you don't want to listen to Brindle. Please understand this. Jesus demands it. Those who really love him will keep his commandments. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven. It's a description of the Christian who is forgiven by trusting in the risen Christ who took our wrath and affliction. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven, but it's a description of the Christian who is forgiven. And the Spirit now convicts them to put off and kill their sick sins. I'ma make this as basic as can be. Let's say a saved saint is like a tree. Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil. So they're saved for life and their fruit isn't spoiled. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession's litmus test. If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof with absent fruit, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth too, or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. No, repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who dance contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just cause we believe in eternal security, don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Cause those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's the Spirit's rendering.
That was Timothy Brindle singing a song called Fruit Inspection. And if you're listening to Mostly Control is saying, we're just about done for Truth Be Told Radio. Please check us out, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, on Facebook as Truth Be Told Radio, and Twitter, Truth Be Told Radio, but it's just the letter B, Truth, the letter B, Told Radio. And check me out at smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com, and on Twitter as bondservant4JC, that's bondservant, the number 4, and then JC, bondservant4JC on Twitter. And I'll say thanks for listening, and this next time, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., Pacific on Sunday. That's when we're on Sundays. And thank you for joining us for the 5th anniversary show. Hopefully 5 more. We'll have more. And thank you all the guests who came on. And in the past, thank you for listening, and bye for now. Gotta go out with the B-I-B-L-E. Sorry about that. Here we go. The B-I-B-L-E by Go Fish. Bye for now.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.